This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, breakthroughs in medical science can drastically change the lives of patients. And 2 years ago on this radio show, we heard about one such breakthrough, a new treatment for cystic fibrosis. Well, here with an update and more on this is Dr. Ron Anbar, professor of pediatrics and medicine and the director of the Pediatric Pulmonary and Cystic Fibrosis Center at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Anbar.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin by reminding us about CF. You know, what is this disease?
Cystic fibrosis is an inherited disease. Both parents have to carry the disease, but they don't have any symptoms. And one out of the four of their children can develop CF. When they develop CF, patients present with problems breathing and digestion. Although since 2002, we have had newborn screening in New York State, so babies are often diagnosed before they develop any symptoms.
But help us understand what CF does. I mean, what is it? How does it affect the person?
CF causes the mucus, the secretions in the body, to be very thick
and sticky.
So the secretions, in a simple way, they plug up the lungs, they plug up the digestive tract, and so the lungs end up becoming injured because the secretions prevent infections from getting out of the lungs, and the digestive tract gets injured, and patients often need to take enzymes to help digest the food because the enzymes that the body makes gets plugged up.
Okay, so as you said, it's a recessive trait. In other words, both parents can have the gene, but it doesn't necessarily. But they don't have the symptoms necessarily. And what if they come together? One out of the four children might actually have it showing as a full-scale disease.
Correct. If you have one copy of the mutation, you do not have any symptoms. So parents are usually healthy. But it's a very common mutation. One out of 25 Caucasian Americans carries cystic fibrosis.
Really?
Yes.
That's actually stunning. Well, how many people today have the full-blown disease, would you say?
In this country, there's about 30,000 known patients. In central New York, we have 225 patients.
Okay. What are some of the consequences besides obviously having your lungs plugged up? I mean, is their lifespan shortened?
Unfortunately, lifespan is shortened dramatically, although we're doing much better in treating the disease. Currently, if a baby is born with cystic fibrosis, the statistics show that they will live to be an average of about 38 years. But this is greatly improved as compared to the 1950s, for example, when we had very little treatments and patients lived an average of a couple of years.
Really?
So because of new treatments, lifespans expanded. And actually, I'm very optimistic about cystic fibrosis. Because of advances such as the one we'll be discussing today, I think the lifespan may be near normal by the time we get finished.
Well, that's actually stunning. So how do you know if you have it?
Well, now in New York State, babies are diagnosed based on their genetics. If they were not diagnosed at a newborn period, the most likely way to diagnose it is you would have a lot of respiratory infections, and children often don't grow well because they don't digest their food well.
So there are those symptoms really kind of carry out. Since it's genetic, could this be avoided if parents were to have genetic testing in advance of a pregnancy?
Yes, genetic testing is available, and it is offered to parents who are thinking of having children and also to women who are pregnant. You can identify whether a fetus carries cystic fibrosis before they're born.
So I guess you were just alluding to this newest breakthrough, which I want to get to. It was about 2 years ago we had you on, and it had just been approved by the FDA. Tell us about what was approved and what this new treatment is doing.
So to understand this treatment, you need to understand that we are now aware there are only over 150 different mutations of the cystic fibrosis protein that cause disease. And this therapy, the breakthrough, only helps about a handful of these different mutations.
Well, let me stop you for a minute. Help us understand what happens to the gene. And there's a mutation in a particular gene in our bodies.
Correct.
And what does that do?
And this gene is supposed to make a protein that has a chloride channel. It's a protein that its job is to move salts, sodium and chloride, in the body.
From cell to cell.
From cell to outside of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And when this protein malfunctions, you have disease. The mucus becomes thick.
And there are a number of ways that gene can mutate. Is that what you're
Correct.
Saying?
Correct. Or that protein can mutate. So one way, for example, the protein never gets manufactured. Another way is the protein is manufactured, but it's defective. And it can be very defective or mildly defective. the breakthrough, the Kalydeco, the new medication, it helps patients who have a mildly defective protein. So this protein ends up in the cell surface. It actually gets manufactured in the cell surface, but doesn't work. And the new therapy makes the protein work.
So it literally repairs a damaged protein, so to speak, or in some way
it assists it, so it can do its job.
It supports it to do its job.
Right, but it only helps about 4% of our patients. The majority of the patients have a very severely defective protein that does never even make it to the cell surface, so the Kalydeco can't help it.
So let's back up. Tell us, when did this gene first get discovered?
Well, we discovered the cystic fibrosis gene after a number of years of hard work back in 1989. It was actually very interesting. We had no idea what the protein was. We had no idea what the defect was. And we studied families of patients with cystic fibrosis and just walked through their DNA and looked for an abnormality that affected all the families. And that's how they found the gene in 1989.
So mapping the human genome was a very important piece of this. It was fundamental to it.
Right. And when we first discovered it, we thought, oh, well, the treatment will be just put in a new gene, just fix it.
And
we tried to develop designer viruses. What viruses do is they put in viral genes into the body. That's how viruses cause infections. We thought we'll put the cystic fibrosis gene into a virus, and the virus will infect the body, and then they'll be cured.
But sounds like a good idea.
Sounds a good idea, but the body fought off the viruses, even with the CF in it. So the body would not take the viruses. So that approach didn't work.
Interesting. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Ron Anbar, and we're talking about a new treatment for cystic fibrosis. Well, so let's go back to that story. So attempts to introduce this new gene or mutation or help to the mutation didn't work.
Initial attempt did not work. There's still action in England. They're still trying to find a way of inserting the gene, but it's most of the cystic fibrosis research no longer is trying to replace the gene, but trying to help find ways around the problem.
So now they did find this Kalydeco, which does support this protein in 4% of people.
Correct.
Excuse me. So what else? I mean, so what's happening with that drug?
Well, for the 4% of patients who receive it, it's done marvelous work. Their lung function has improved. Their weight has improved. They feel better. One of the patients told me, well, when I skip my Kalydeco, I know right away because I already feel that it doesn't work, that I'm not feeling as well. This particular patient stopped his other medications. He didn't think he needed them anymore. I'm not sure if that's the right thing yet, but maybe it is because this drug is pretty powerful and we're still learning how well it works.
So before this, we were basically treating this symptomatically.
Correct.
But currently, we're actually treating it by treating the underlying cause.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which makes it so much more exciting. But again, this affects 4% of the patients. What about the other patients? So we're developing, it's a new drug that's been developed, and it's actually representative of several new drugs of the same kind that's intended to help the patient with the severe mutation. And what these drugs do is they take the severely affected protein and help move it into the cell surface, and then they give Kalydeco, which helps that protein work.
So it's a two-drug approach.
It's a two-drug combination. But I don't think it's going to be a home run for those patients because I think we're going to end up having to have a three-drug combination. Turns out the mutation is so severely affected that one drug is not enough to move it to the cell surface. If you have two drugs, it would work even better. We believe with a three-drug combination, we might have a near a cure.
Are those drugs in the pipeline currently?
The second drug is, there's several versions of that drug in the pipeline. And we're actually doing research right here at Upstate with the second drug plus Kalydeco. The third drug I mentioned, that's still on the drawing board. We have to find it.
How do you determine what patients are going to benefit from it? In other words, do you do some kind of a genetic analysis of a particular patient and say, oh, you have that type of mutation? I mean, how do you determine who gets treated and how?
Every patient at our center undergoes a genetic analysis. We know exactly what the mutation is. And actually, it's very interesting because we just had a baby born fairly recently who has the mutation called G551D. That's the mutation that Kalydeco helps. But this is a baby, and we're not giving Kalydeco to that patient yet because this medication has not been studied in babies, and we're not sure if there could be bad side effects.
That was my next question. When do you begin to treat someone?
Well, the studies of Kalydeco were done in children who are 6 and above and adults. And the reason that age of six was picked is that that's when you can start looking at their lung function. Patients can perform pulmonary function testing, and we can see how well their lungs work. So in principle, it could work in infants. But again, we're worried about side effects because, you know, infants are not little adults. They react differently.
Right. They have unique chemistry, biochemistry. Correct. So how many people in this country are getting Kalydeco? You said 4%. Is it happening throughout the country?
Correct. So basically everyone who can benefit is on Kalydeco. And even though it's very expensive, nearly $300,000 a year per patient.
I was going to ask you that question because you said that the last time you were here, and I was hoping that perhaps the price had dropped.
The price has not dropped. It's like almost like $500 a pill. But again, the problem is if only 1,000 patients can receive it, there's a limited amount of money that can be made from this drug. And developing a drug can cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hence the price.
So if you can't pay for it, you can't develop it.
So currently, are patients getting help with insurance? How do they manage this?
Insurance coverage has been available from virtually all patients. It's not been a problem.
Wow.
Fortunately.
So what do you expect to happen? Let's just take Kalydeco first. What do you expect to happen in terms of the longevity of these particular patients who are being helped and the quality of their lives?
Well, this is speculative. We know the quality of life has improved. They're feeling better. They're more active.
And on average, what are the ages that we're talking about of your patients who are on Kalydeco?
The ones in our center are all young adults. They're 20 and above, except for the baby who was just born, who was not on Kalydeco yet. Speculative how well it'll work. I'm hopeful. I think as long as the patients didn't have a lot of lung damage before they got started on Kalydeco, I think the Kalydeco plus the other therapies can let them live into their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Like you said,
I'm very
even
optimistic.
A full lifespan.
A full lifespan.
So what's in the pipeline? Right now in terms of on the research bench, what's coming down the pike? And is there, you said in England they're still looking at trying to introduce
the gene
itself. Is there any hope of that? Or is there any hope in utero of changing a situation? I mean, I know there's all this talk about trying to analyze someone's genetic makeup even in utero and then perhaps making introductory changes. Is that all science fiction or is that possible?
Well, in utero, probably not in our lifetime. And one of the problems is if you give, for example, a drug that needs to get in through the bloodstream, you'd have to give it to the mother too. And there's ethical problems. Would you give a mother a drug that could hurt her and to treat the infant? But we're far from being able to treat in utero. I guess the next likely thing that will happen is there's a couple of drugs, one called Vertex 809, one is Vertex 661, that help with the severe mutations. And those are the ones that are being studied actively right now.
Wonderful. Well, once again, I want to thank you. This is so uplifting to think that we're really making a difference in the lives of these patients and that there's some real hope ahead. My guest has been Dr. Ron Onbar, Professor of Pediatrics and Medicine and the Director of the Pediatric Pulmonary and Cystic Fibrosis Center at Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.